My text today can be found in Luke chapter 23, that portion of scripture that we read earlier, and the first part of verse 33. We read these tremendous words, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Let's bow again in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider his precious word today. Father in heaven, again we thank thee for thy word. And we pray now as we turn to the sacred page that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, to uplift our blessed Saviour. O God, we thank thee for the one who laid down his life a ransom for the many. We praise thee, O God, for the death, the suffering of Christ upon the cross. And O God, we just pray today as we would consider the place called Calvary once again, that you would be pleased, Lord, to speak to all of our hearts. Bless your own people. Encourage your saints. And those, Lord, who are still unsaved, I pray, O God, that you would reveal unto them their need of a Saviour. And, O God, reveal unto them that Jesus Christ is that Saviour. For he is the only Saviour. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And, Lord, I just pray today that this great gospel truth would penetrate into the sinner's heart. Bless us now. Close us in with yourself. Shut out the world. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. During the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were many notable places associated with the Saviour. There was Bethlehem, the place of his birth. There was Nazareth, the place of his childhood. There was Jordan, the place of his baptism. And there was Cana, the place where he performed his first miracle. Then there was Bethany, the place where his friends lived. Then there was Capernaum, the place where he performed great healing. And then there was the mount where he was transfigured. And I'm sure that you can think of many other places associated with Christ when he walked upon this earth, upon this scene of time. However, perhaps the most notable place during Christ's life and ministry was Jerusalem. At Jerusalem, there was Gethsemane, the place of his agony. There was Gabbatha, the place of his judgment. And then there was Golgotha, or Calvary, the place of his crucifixion. Golgotha, or Calvary, was the hill outside Jerusalem, of course, where the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified and nailed to the cross. It was the place where the Lord Jesus laid down his life, a ransom for the many. Consider our text again in Luke 23, verse 33. A text that I want you to underline in your Bible. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." Very simply today, I want to draw your attention to this place called Calvary. In a few moments' time, we will be remembering Christ's death around the Lord's table. However, before we as God's people gather around the communion table, I want to draw your attention to this place called Calvary, and I want us all to consider the significance of this place. There's a message here for the child of God. There's also a message here for those in the meeting who are not saved. And I pray as we consider the significance of this place called Calvary, that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts and speak to all of our souls. What do we learn here about this place called Calvary? What is the significance of Calvary? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that Calvary is a place of freedom. Christ died on Calvary's cross to pay the price to secure the sinner's freedom from sin's penalty. The penalty for sin is eternal death and hell forever. That's what the Bible clearly teaches us. Indeed, the Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Romans 5 verse 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The death spoken of here in these verses is not only physical death, but it is eternal death, which is separation from God for all eternity. You see, the truth of the matter is this: sin enslaves, sin imprisons. Therefore, every sinner is a slave to their sin. However, Christ died to set the prisoner free. Therefore, at the place called Calvary, Christ paid the price to secure the sinner's freedom from eternal death and hell. That is what Calvary means to every child of God. If you're saved today, then you will know this, that you have been set free from sin's penalty. And that has taken place because of Calvary. Because the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, a ransom for the many. In Romans 5 and the verse 9 we read these words: much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And then Galatians 1 verse 4 says that Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. In Mark, his gospel, we read these tremendous words: for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. My, what a tremendous text of scripture. Christ came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to shed his blood to pay the price for the sinner's redemption. He came to set the prisoner free. A hymn writer penned those wonderful words: free from the law, O happy condition, Jesus has bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, Christ has redeemed us once for all. Now we are free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, O hear his sweet call. Come and he saves us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O doubter, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Thank God, those of us here today who are saved, we can lift up our hearts to the Lord and we can praise him this Lord's Day because of Calvary, because he has set us free from sin's penalty. Thank God, we'll never be in hell. We'll never know what it is to be lost forever and forever and forever. But you know, if you're not saved today, the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, he can do the same for you. He can set you free from sin's penalty. Up until this point in your life, you have been walking down the broad road to hell and destruction. But thank God today, if you would only but come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, then you could leave God's house free from the penalty of sin. Christ can set you free today. Thank God he can give you new life. Praise God, he can cleanse you through and through. In 1 Peter 1 verses 18 and 19, we read these wonderful words. It's a text of scripture, I'm sure, that's familiar to God's people. But if you're not saved, listen to these words. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Here we see the importance of the blood that Christ shed on Calvary in order to set sinners free from sin's penalty. We see the value of the blood. It is precious blood. That's what Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reveals to us here in this text. But he also reveals to us that it is blood that is victorious blood. Because when we look by faith to Calvary and accept Christ as our Savior, there is victory through the blood for the sinner. For the sinner can be set free because the Lord Jesus upon Calvary's middle tree shed his precious blood in order to redeem us. We see the value of the blood and the victory of the blood, and it's also, we can see the virtue of the blood, because it's the blood of Christ, the blood of God's dear Son. In Romans 5 verse 1 it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, thank God today, Calvary is a place of freedom. And because of the precious blood, atoning blood that the Lord Jesus shed upon the cross, the sinner who deserves hell forever can be set free from sin's penalty. And praise God, also we're set free from the guilt of sin. And someday we'll be set free from the very presence of sin. Therefore, because of Calvary, we have perfect liberty in Christ, knowing that we are redeemed not only for time, but for all of God's eternity. But there's something else I want you to notice here. I want you to notice that Calvary is a place of forgiveness. Now, this leads on. If it's a place of freedom, it's a place of forgiveness. In Hebrews 9 verse 22, we read these words, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. It is only through the blood of Christ that we can receive forgiveness of sins. Now, we have made mention of the blood already, but let me emphasize this. On Calvary's middle tree, when the Lord Jesus died and shed his blood, he made it possible for you and I to receive forgiveness for our sins. In 1 John 1 and verse 7 it says, the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Men and women, there's no greater blessing on earth than to have your sins forgiven. There's no greater blessing on earth than to know sins forgiven. This knowledge and this blessing can be yours today because of the place called Calvary. Maybe there's someone here in God's house, and you're burdened down with sin, with the guilt of your sin. You're burdened down with your iniquity. Praise God, today you can make peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can know sins forgiven. You say to me, preacher, can the Lord really forgive me for my sins? You don't know my sins. You don't know how far down the road of iniquity I have traveled. Well, that may be the case. But the vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus of cleansing will receive. And thank God, the Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And the truth is, my friend, you can receive this forgiveness. Do you know anything about sins forgiven? Have you received forgiveness for your sins? Those sins that condemn you, those sins that torment you, those sins that are bringing you down to a lost eternity, those sins that are robbing you of peace and joy and happiness. Well, you can find forgiveness for those sins today. You can know peace with God. And the reason why is because of the place called Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ will forgive you for all your sin today because of who he is. He is the Son of God, and because of what he has done, He has died for sin upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. In Luke 5 verse 24 it says that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. The Son of Man, who is the Son of God, who is the second person of the Holy Trinity, is the only one who can forgive you for your sins. But thank God, Christ is able and he's willing to forgive all your sins today if you repent of your sin and trust him as your own and personal Redeemer. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O my sin, O the bliss of this glorious thought, O my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. I wonder today, as you sit in God's house, can you sing that little hymn with all your heart? Praise God for each one here who's truly saved and truly born again of the Spirit of God. We can lift up our hearts today and we can thank the Lord for all his mercy in that he died and shed his precious blood in order to give us freedom from sin's penalty, in order to give us forgiveness from sin. There's a wonderful story in the Bible. I want you to turn to it actually. It's found in Luke's Gospel chapter 7. And here we read about a sinful woman who came to Christ. And she received forgiveness for her sins. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ can do the same for you today. I don't care who you are. And I don't care what your sin is. If you confess your sin and repent your sin, the Lord will forgive your sin. Look with me at Luke 7 and verse 36. Let's read down the story. Maybe this story is not familiar to you. Well, listen to it carefully. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that's the Lord Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Underline that. This woman was a sinner. That's what the Bible says. A sinner of the deepest dye. She was an adulterous sinner. Make no mistake about that. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Oh, the Pharisee knew the type of woman this was. He was hypocritical. He thought that he wasn't a sinner. And he judged Christ here. But notice that, again, this truth is emphasized. This woman was a great sinner. Look at verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman, look at it, and saith unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou givest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, listen to it, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Oh, the merciful Saviour. Here we have a wonderful picture of the grace of Christ flowing to the sinner. My friend, that same grace and mercy can flow to you today if you come in repentance. This woman, this sinful woman, came in repentance. That means that she came turning away from her sin. She was sick of her sin. She was tired of her sin. And she wanted her sins forgiven. And she recognized that only Christ could forgive her for her sins. And my friend, if you come to Christ today, weeping and in repentance, turning away from your sin, and by faith believing that He is the Savior, then He will cleanse you and He will forgive you. Why? Because of the place called Calvary. Oh, it's a place of freedom. Sets sinners free from sin's penalty. It's a place of forgiveness. Thank God the Lord will cleanse and forgive us for our sins because of this wonderful place and because of the work that He accomplished on Calvary's cross when He paid the price of our redemption. But notice something else. Calvary is a place of fellowship. That is fellowship with God. The reason for Calvary was to restore man's fellowship with God. Now think about that for a moment. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, fellowship with God was broken. In Genesis 3 verse 6 it says, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? A familiar passage of Scripture to us all, but a passage of Scripture that indicates to us that when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, fellowship with God was broken. Sin brought enmity between God and man. When Adam sinned, fellowship with his Creator was broken. Therefore, man needs to be reconciled to God. Man needs to be brought back into fellowship with God again. Calvary makes this possible. Christ dying upon the cross makes this possible. Romans 5 verse 10 says, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? By the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Colossians 1 verse 21 and 22 says, And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. What a tremendous text of Scripture that is. Because of the cross and because of the blood that Christ shed and because of the work that the Lord Jesus accomplished upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, sinners who are out of fellowship with God, the enemies of God, can become the friends of God and can enter into that sweet fellowship with Him again. Oh, men and women, the cross, Calvary, Christ dying and shedding His blood has brought back to a former state of harmony and fellowship the sinner who is saved by God's grace. I wonder, do you know anything of that sweet fellowship today? Have you prayed with the Lord today? Have you known His presence? Has He spoken to you through His word? Have you fellowshipped with your God and with your Creator through the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. When the Savior died upon the cross, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, indicating a new way opened up in approaching God for the sinner. No more blood sacrifices. No more offering up of animals. The sinner can approach God personally through the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator. Fellowship with God is through the mediator, Jesus Christ, when we accept Him as our Savior and when we accept Him as our Lord. Let me just read you these verses. Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And verse 5 and 6 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well, thank God today, because of who Jesus is and because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Not only because He has died, but because He has risen again. And of course, when we're preaching the gospel, we must never forget the great resurrection, because that's as much of the gospel as the death of Christ. But thank God, what a glorious message we have. Of course, before Christ could rise again, He had to die. Before He rose again, He had to go to the place called Calvary. And there upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, He had to lay down His life for the sins of many. My friend, do you know anything about this freedom that I'm talking about today? Do you know anything about this forgiveness that the Bible speaks about? Do you know anything about this fellowship that we're drawing your attention to? If not, come by faith today to the place called Calvary. And thank God, if you kneel there by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your own and personal Savior, you will leave God's house a different person. A new man, a new woman. Your life will be changed forever. Do you want to go on continuing in your sin, knowing the guilt of that sin, day after day, week after week, month after month, knowing that you're not right with God? Maybe there's a backslider here today. My friend, let me say this. If you're a true backslider, then you will not be happy in your sin. Oh, maybe for a time. Maybe for an hour. Maybe for that period when you enter into the sin which does so easily beset you. But then after you've committed it, the guilt will penetrate into your heart and soul. And you'll be miserable. The backslider is a miserable person. My friend, you need that fellowship restored. You need to come afresh and kneel again at Calvary. And you need to confess your sin to Him and repent your sin afresh. And thank God that sweet fellowship will be restored again. The Lord will restore the years that the locusts have eaten, because He's a merciful God. Don't allow the devil to whisper in your ear, backslider, that there's no mercy with God for you. There is mercy with God for the backslider. Thank God for that. Because God is married to the backslider. And He wants to bring you into that sweet fellowship again. You say, preacher, how? How do I get into that sweet fellowship again? Well, you must come again to Calvary. You must come again by faith to the cross. And you must look to Him and cry unto Him, and He will forgive you and He will cleanse you. The place called Calvary. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. What's the significance of this place? Oh, it's a place of freedom, and it's a place of forgiveness. Oh, it's a place of fellowship. Oh, I pray that God will bless His word to all of our hearts this day. And child of God, as we just in a few moments' time and meet around the Lord's table, and remember Christ's death, let us once more lift up our hearts and thank the Lord for what He, our Saviour and Redeemer, has done for us. Let us all bow in prayer.